This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave.
Jade, I have to apologise for looking a little distracted just a second ago as our intro was playing because I am fussing with my armchair.
Yeah, I noticed.
It's just, you know, I've already told you before that at work I'm quite particular about people touching my chair.
I get the same.
Yeah, because you spend ages like calibrating it to be the right angle, the right height, and if you've got like an armrest, you know, it's been fixed just right for you.
Yeah.
I'm in the studio right now sitting where the panelist usually sits, and because here at Joy we've got, you know, a variety of presenters and producers, you know, coming and going every now and then, you know, people of different shapes and sizes. I now feel like a little child sitting in daddy's big armchair because the armrest is pulled all the way to the heavens.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's you know, messing with my elbows. And I'm just like frantically trying to find the switch for it, the lever. I'm just like tapping away. I'm like, Jade.
You're just like tapping, hoping that it happens.
It's like, come on. But Jade, look, last night was Halloween and your girlfriend's American, so surely, like, you know, she would have, you know, gotten excited just maybe just a little bit for Halloween.
Well, she's a teacher, so at school they did have, like, a dress-up thing and she went as Captain America.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I saw her, like, on Instagram, like, making the Captain America shield.
Yeah. So, yeah, so she did that. Meanwhile, I just didn't really do anything. I just, you know, I stay out of Halloween.
Because
Halloween wasn't big.
When we were growing up, no, really, I feel like in the last few years here in Australia, as you know, in Melbourne, in Sydney, it's just become this huge party thing, especially for people our age. You know, it's an opportunity to dress up, look the fool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like there are two types of people that dress up for Halloween. The ones that do it really well and take it seriously, and the ones that are kind of on a bit of a budget and didn't quite think about it until the weekend before or the night itself.
Yeah,
I am off the latter category because I was invited to a Halloween party last night. So because, I mean, it's a Wednesday night, you know, you can't have a really big party, can you? Because people are working.
Yeah.
So most people have had their Halloween parties over the weekend past or, you know, in the coming up one. But I had one last night and I didn't think to kind of prepare what to wear. Like, I'm very indecisive. Yeah. I'm the type of person that will walk up and down a shopping, you know, a supermarket aisle and just not be able to decide. So,
and you're really good at, like, these homemade type ones too, because I remember we had, like, at my house a couple months back, we had a nerd party and you just, like, sort of stickied on some, like, old records and CDs onto your outfit and said, I'm a music nerd.
Yeah, you know, I came with, like, you know, sort of like a breastplate made of CDs.
Yeah.
But I didn't, like, I really didn't think about it for last night. So I thought I will go, since it was a full moon, I will go as an exaggerated version of what I usually am. So the hair was bigger, the lashes was bigger, my eyes were different colours, I popped on coloured contacts, the shorts were shorter, the tank top tinier, so everything was just out of this world proportion. So, and I turned up to this party, Jade, and I was the only one who really went all out.
Oh.
How embarrassing.
That is embarrassing.
Yeah, so I've posted photos of me looking like a really budget drag queen on Instagram. I have so much respect for drag queens because, you know, it's such an art form what they do.
Yeah.
That for people to consider what I did last night to be drag, I'm just like, don't even sully the art form. Like, that's just some cheapo wig bunched up, you know, in a bun and some fake lashes.
Yeah.
That ain't drag. No. That is last minute decisions. But Jade, you know, it's very interesting because my mum, Mama Lim, fears Halloween. Like, she is afraid of it because one year, and this is when we were living in, was it Ferntree Gully? No. This is when we were living in Glen Waverley and we were like, you know, across the road from the high school. Mm-hmm. So Halloween one year, we had these bunch of like year 8 or year 9 kids come over. That was about, I don't know, 5 or 6 of them banging on the doors, and we had nothing to offer them. Nothing to offer them. And Mum was so terrified. That was her first trick-or-treating attack.
Yeah.
Like, she had never actually had anyone knock on our doors before for trick-or-treating. So that traumatized her so much because she thought there were hooligans trying to break into a humble abode.
Poor Mama Lee.
I know. Ever since then, she's just like, oh, be careful on Halloween. Like, it's not a supernatural thing that she's afraid of. She's afraid of the kids.
Yeah. And your brother is like a year 8 now. So
yeah. Yeah, well, she's like, you're not going out.
Joy 94.9.
You say that it's about pop artist booth character.
Pop artist booth character.
Forget what you've heard. Go to listen to Strummy Lala music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a different Strokes take on music.
Jade, this week for Music Pick of the Week, you have got Shiny Toy Guns, which is a band, I assume.
It is a band.
It's not one of those, you know, solo artists that's trying to make themselves sound mysterious.
No, it's an actual band.
It's an actual band.
Yeah.
All right, tell us more about your pick, which is Somewhere to Hide.
Yeah, so Shiny Toy Guns, they are sort of a synth indie rock band from the US. This is actually, this song, Somewhere to Hide, is actually from their third album, which is called 3 Roman numerals. I'm going to say it in Roman, you know, because it's not 3, so, you know. Well, anyway, it's
specifics
3.
Are important, you guys. We don't want you typing in T-H-R-E-E.
Yeah, and expecting a result.
Yes.
And so basically, they've been around since, I think, sort of the early 2000s.
Okay.
And they sort of went through this rough patch where, and during their second album, one of their lead vocalists, so they've got a female and a male lead vocalist. Their female lead vocalist left the band, and they released an album in 2008, which was their second album without her.
Oh.
And her husband at the time, who was also in the band, and then they, that album basically got canned by all of their fans. And it was just kind of like this weird patch. Anyway,
it's like when Jerry left the Spice Girls, like the chemistry just wasn't right for forever.
Yeah.
So they were having a situation where one of their lead vocalists left and they didn't replace her.
Mm-hmm.
They just tried to carry on, and that album didn't work well.
Yeah, and so now they got her back in.
Oh, did they?
This album, right?
They're like, come back, girl.
So she's back now, and they've released 2. So the album came out last week in the US.
Okay.
And they've released 2 singles from the album, one called Waiting Alone, another one called Fading and Listening. And this song that is my pick of the week is called Somewhere to Hide, which is.
You've deliberately gone for the album track, though. You've skipped past the singles. So this track must be so much of a standout.
Well, it's the first song on the album. I just feel like it sets a good tone.
Okay.
And if you're into, if you're on my side of the playlist and you're into things like bands like The Sounds or the Ting Tings, that's what you're expecting.
This is what we're expecting.
If you're on Dave's side, Robin, there's Robin influences and sounds.
Can I just say, when you introduced this group to me and said, oh, it's an American indie synth rock band, I was thinking more like The Killers.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard the song, I actually got flashbacks to Robin's With Every Heartbeat and Dancing on My Own.
Yeah.
So it sounds more European than what they are actually.
And so, yeah, it's very synthy. It's very, like, dance, like, you know, dance ballady.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
I am living for it. And we've got a text here from Joel saying, great song choice of the week. Love it. Not normally my type of music.
Yes.
We have a conversion.
Yeah. I always like, you know, I like the challenge of trying to come up with something that will introduce someone to something new.
Yes. And I feel like, you know, that perhaps is a little bit of our service to the community. Yeah. You know, it's a privilege to be on air and, you know, being big music fans that we are sometimes, you know, it gives us a platform to share things like that. So it's kind of cool that people like it too.
Yeah.
Now, Jade, After Ellen is one of your favorite blogs ever. Mm-hmm. I can understand how you know, that is like your community newsletter.
Yeah, so after...
It sounds so daggy when I say community newsletter.
It does. After Ellen is a website. There's like a lesbian pop culture website.
So not at all. A newsletter that your mum might make on, like, I don't know, Publisher. It's professional.
Yeah.
So, Jade, there was this article or feature about the best lesbian/bi movies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a list that, and it's not just any list, you guys. Like, this is a huge comprehensive poll that is happening.
Yeah, so they're polling all of their readers about, you know, what are the ultimate lesbian and bi movies. And then it got me thinking, Dave, that I think everyone has, like, their sort of seminal gay, lesbian, queer
movie
that they go to or that they connect with. You know, they see it a first time and they hold on to it forever.
Oh, absolutely.
And like for me, like But I'm a Cheerleader is definitely one of them. Like, you know, just that kind of snarky, like black comedy style, like look at things. It's got, you know, RuPaul in it.
I adore RuPaul. And I only just watched this movie like this year.
Yeah, because I said to you, have you ever seen But I'm a Cheerleader? And you were like, no. And I'm like, but RuPaul's in it. Because, you know, you're always talking about how RuPaul is like your
spiritual leader.
Exactly. Another one I really like that's a bit more like, imagine Me and You is like a... It's like a romantic comedy, and so it's got that romantic comedy, like, they do a good job of having that formula in a lesbian-style film.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's another good one that
I like. What's it called?
Imagine Me and You.
Imagine Me and You.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You see, there's like lots of really good lesbian movies out there. Wild Things.
No, Dave.
No. I just saw this in the article, Jade. Yeah. You have to give me your read on this.
Wild Things is actually...
It sounds like a porno.
Well,
I'm just going to put it out there.
It's kind of like a straight boys version of like what lesbians would be like.
Oh, hell no. You know, really?
Well, like, you know, it's got some interesting stuff in it. It's an interesting story, but it's a bit like, you know, a mainstream, like, you know, teenage girls experimenting type thing.
Okay, that's quite interesting.
And I don't tend to go for those darker style lesbian movies. Like, you know, I really liked Brokeback Mountain, for example. But
that's a fabulous movie, yes.
But, you know, I like, you know, a lot of these lesbian movies that come out, they'll be like, you know, oh, the lesbian, you know, gets all stalkery, or, you know, there's like a lot of sort of those darker themes. Like, mm-hmm. I like those ones that are more like, this is everyday life.
Okay.
Or, you know, But I'm a Cheerleader.
Where it's just full on camp.
Yeah.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
Now, Jade, this time every week, we look forward, we anticipate on your app reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And this week you're taking us all the way back.
I am taking you back to childhood, Dave. I'm sure we're all familiar with He-Man, Masters of the Universe.
He-Man!
He-Man has an app out called He-Man, the Most Powerful Game in the Universe, which I just love the name. Because
it's so obnoxious.
It is so obnoxious and cheeseball and like just so, you know, pitched perfectly at a particular demographic looking to like relive He-Man. So basically it's an app that you go through. I think there's like 7 different levels. It's not a pretty, it's a fairly sort of easygoing, not particularly complex game where you're fighting against Skeletors, minions, and trying to work your way through 7 different levels. It's, you know, I think with this game in particular, like when I compare it to something like Kumo Lumo, which I reviewed a couple of weeks ago, where there's like lots of thought going into it, this one is purely just like, let's relive, you know, He-Man. And
so it's no
sort
innovation
of,
per se.
No.
It's the same kind of game that you would have played as a kid.
Yes.
Now, I'm very interested in this because for an old character like He-Man, How have they done the graphics this time around? Have they tried to recapture the nostalgic old school?
It's like exactly like the old cartoon look.
How it's animated. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, they haven't tried to revision it. They're not trying to make it more modern. Mm. It's just like you watch He-Man in the 80s. Here it is.
I find it so interesting because, like, you know, Snake, that old game that we used to play on our Nokias.
Yes.
They've released an app for that as well.
Yeah, which Snake 97.
About. Yeah. Snake 97. So I feel like, you know, people that are targeting people our age now, mm-hmm. they're definitely going for all these games that we used to enjoy because we would just absolutely lap it up.
The one thing that I've been going on about for so long, Dave, that I'm yet to see, and if anyone has seen it, please let me know, is something on a modern gaming console or an app version of Carmen Sandiego, because every kid our age played that game when they were younger, and I think it's just like a market waiting to happen.
There has to be a Carmen Sandiego app out
there. I haven't seen one yet.
What on earth? Yeah. Where on earth
is the Carmen Sandiego app?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. Thanks for your review, Jade. So that's a He-Man app.
It's called He-Man, the most powerful game in the universe.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.